Today we have a reading from the Apostle Peter, a reading that is truly part and parcel of what we as Christians here at First United Methodist Church in Sigaville are called to be about, a reading about the calling we have to love fervently. Now you notice up here on the board, you see, love fervently. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine brotherly love, love fervently one another from the heart. 1 Peter 1:22, the GNV. And I'm sure some of you are scratching your heads and going, what in the world is the GNV? I've never heard of the GNV before. Well, you're going to hear an awful lot of it. Periodically, when I'm preparing my sermons for Sunday morning, I'll look at the lectionary readings for the coming Sunday. There are four readings in it: an Old Testament lesson, a Psalm lesson, a New Testament lesson, and a Gospel lesson. I'll look at each one of those and determine what I want to preach on for the coming Sunday based upon the needs of the church. And one of the first things I'll do is I'll take down my Hebrew Bible and I'll read the passage from the Old Testament in Hebrew. And then I'll take down my Greek New Testament and read the passage from the Greek New Testament, and then I'll read it from the King James, and I'll read it from the Revised Standard, and I'll read it from the NRSV, which is the Bible that I most frequently read from in church. And then based upon those readings, I'll have a pretty good idea of how I want to focus my sermon. But sometimes I discover when I read it in its original language that I don't necessarily agree with the translations I've been given. And so I'll make my own. That's the GNV, the Greg Neal version. I don't change the Bible, friends. The Greek doesn't change. I sometimes change the choice of translation. And today we're going to experience a little bit about what the translation choices here mean for a few of these words as we take this passage apart and apply it to our daily living. I want you to pay close attention to how each word applies in your given situation. But first, let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. These things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. During the Korean War, the USS Pueblo was captured by Korean soldiers, North Korean soldiers. And the 82 surviving crew members were put into a horrible confinement, and they were tortured, and they were beaten, and they were starved, and many of them died. And 13 of those sailors were put into a room and forced to sit all day long at attention at a table. And then at some point during the day, a soldier would come into the room and with the butt of his gun start to beat one of the sailors over the head again and again and again. The second day, they were forced to sit at a table, and the soldier comes in and starts to beat that same sailor. He's seated in that same chair over the head again and again and again. The other sailors are watching this in horror, forced to do nothing. So they talked about it a little later, and they noticed that it was the same sailor every time. And so the third day, when they got into the room, a different sailor took that first sailor's chair. And in comes the Korean soldier, and he starts to beat that sailor sitting in the first chair, this time a fresh one over the head, again and again and again. And every day, day in and day out, for week upon week, the 13 sailors, a different one, would step forward each day and sit in that first chair to take that beating that they were receiving. The beatings from these North Korean soldiers could not overcome the self-giving love that those sailors had for each other. Self-giving love, my friends. That is a concept that we in the church are called to know and to live and embody for each other and for the world, a self-giving love that doesn't take no for an answer, the self-giving love that forgives and goes on, a self-giving love that knows no boundaries. That's what we're called to live and to be. As the body of Christ here in Siegelville, we are called to be a people of self-giving love. And today's passage from 1 Peter brings that out beautifully. It begins by saying, firstly, that our souls are purified by obedience to the truth. Our souls are purified by obedience to the truth. What's the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the truth. What is obedience? Bill Cosby says that obey sounds like pig Latin. It kind of does, obey. It sounds like pig Latin. What is obedience? What does it mean to obey? We're having a wedding here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to be looking at the liturgy this coming week for the wedding. And you can be pleased to know that the word obey is not there. He's looking down like, oh, darn. It should be, he says. He didn't say, oh, I heard it from somewhere over here. Oh, back there. Obey. What does it mean to obey? I looked it up. It's a Greek word, hupakuo, and it means to follow, to be subject to say yes and then do. Think about that. It means to say yes and then do. Obey means to follow. It means to say yes and then do. It means to be subject to the authority of another. Obedience. Our souls are purified. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, means literally, now that you have subjected your life to Jesus Christ, now that you have placed yourself under His authority, now that you have said yes to Jesus and now are doing that life of faith that He calls you to, your soul is being purified. That's point one, my friends. Now that you've purified your soul through your obedience to the gospel, we have a genuinely brotherly love. That's point two. So that you have a genuine brotherly love. The word here for brotherly love is Philadelphian. It sounds like a city, doesn't it? Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philadelphian comes from the word phileos. It means brotherly love. It means, contextually, it means sisterly love. It means friendship that goes beyond simply, I like you, to, I like you, and I'll sit in that chair and take that beating for you. Mutual, assured, brotherly, sisterly, accepting, and forgiving love. Brotherly love. Genuine, not just any brotherly love, not fake brotherly love, but genuine, real, actual, unfeigned, unfaked, to make up a word, brotherly love. Brotherly love that is real. With a purified soul, subject to Jesus Christ, we are called to have genuine brotherly love. Genuine sisterly love. I think about my brother, Chuck. Mom, Dad, with our struggles and fights and disagreements, I still love my brother. You still love your son. It's not easy. You can choose your friends, you can't choose your family. You've heard that one before, haven't you? And there are times I want to kick the tar out of my brother. But I love him. And I'll do anything for him. And you can say the same about your brothers and your sisters, both family and those who you have in the family of God. It's not just a family brotherly love, it's the brotherly love that we have in the body of Christ, the church. The love that gives and keeps on giving. This, we were trying to figure out this morning, who has as that their slogan, the phrase, the gift that keeps on giving? I was racking my brains trying to figure it out, and we couldn't figure it out. We made a couple of phone calls, Peggy and I did, couldn't figure it out. So we went to the place where you find out everything, the internet. And the things we found there for the gift that keeps on giving were hilarious. A toy that gives you some candy. But the one that I was trying to remember was the United Way. When you give to the United Way, it's a gift that keeps on giving, they said. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Brotherly love is a gift of the grace of God that keeps on forgiving. All right? That will give of itself and again and again and again without ending. A brotherly love that never ends and always forgives. That brotherly love loves fervently. We are to have genuine brotherly love and love fervently one another from the heart. The word fervently is ektenos. Ektenos is a wonderful, wonderful word. It means eagerly, it means earnestly, it means fervently, it means deeply, it means eagerly, tensely, strainedly, wound uply, stressed, strengthened, strained, wonderful, powerful, deeply loved. It's often used of something in Greek. It's often used of something that is so tightly wound up that it's on the verge of breaking but doesn't break. Think of a rubber band. When you pull it real tight, you're going to shoot someone with it. There's a lot of power behind that rubber band, isn't there? And when you let go, the energy that it releases will propel that little piece of paper that you're getting ready to shoot at your brother. A long way. That kind of energy that is wound up and pulled tight is what they mean here by ektenos, by fervently, by deeply, by eagerly, by pent up and strengthened up. Strengthen up. Wind up. Get strong and deep your love. Fervently love. Love fervently one another. Now, what's this word love? We had earlier another word love. Phileos. Philadelphian. The term love, mutual, brotherly love. But then we use another word almost immediately. It's the word, the verb word is agapao. The noun is agape. It's the ultimate form of love. It's the love that gives and asks nothing in return. Well, I'll love him if he'll love me back. Oh, I'll forgive her if she'll forgive me. I'll do this for them if they'll do this for me. That's phileo love. That's the kind of love that is spoken about in brotherly love. This passage takes it one step further. Not I'll love you if you'll love me. A mutual love. But I'll love you even if you hate me. Even if you say no to me. Even if you refuse to forgive me. Even if you refuse to accept my forgiveness, I will love you anyway. The ultimate form of love. The love that God showed for the world when Jesus Christ came to live among us, taught us how much God loved us by putting his arms out on the hardwood of the cross and dying for our sins. Even though the world spat on him, beat him, and crucified him, he still loved and died for the sins of the whole world. That's the kind of love we're talking about, friends. That kind of love is to be fervently shared amongst the body of Christ. Our love is not just friendship. It is deep, it is fervent, it is eager, it is wound up and powerful. It is a love that will sit in that chair and take that beating. It's a love that will say, I forgive you even if you don't forgive me. It's a love that says, I'll accept the forgiveness that you offer. It's a love that refuses to hold a grudge. It's a love that gives and gives and keeps on giving. And it's a love that eternally forgives. That is the love that we are called to have for each other, my friends. That we, regardless of who we are, regardless of who the other people are, we are called to have for each other. The love of God, which is fervent in our lives, we are called to be fervent in giving to others. So, to put it back together, now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, by your subjecting yourself to Jesus, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, so that you have a genuine brotherly love, it's real, it's deep, it's strong, love fervently. Go from, oh, I'll love you if you love me, to I'll love you despite what's happened. Go from that mutual brotherly love to the eternal love that God gives us all. That's what Peter is saying to the church. That's what Peter is saying to the church today. Love fervently, deeply, strongly, eagerly. Eternally. Love and forgive and be the body of Christ here today. That's what he's calling us to today. That's what he's calling us to do and to be and to live as the body of Christ. He's calling us to be his children in a broken and hurting world, sharing the love of God with all whom we meet. He's calling us to truly love fervently. Each other, and every person we meet outside those doors. That's a deep calling, my friends. That's a eager calling, my friends. That's a difficult calling, my friends. But it's the calling we have as the body of Christ. It's a calling we cannot deny. It's a calling we must take up. Take up this calling to love fervently. Commit yourself to the brotherly and sisterly love that he calls us to through a purified soul, and then go one step further and love fervently your sisters and brothers and every person whom you meet. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.